Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Remember When We Were Mint podcast.
Is that official now? I love that name.
I'm going to change it. Do you know what we need to do? We've just seen some of the t-shirts that we're selling there.
Yes.
Some belters.
Yeah, they are.
Including the Marshall FC one, which I'm not a member of.
I like the t-shirt. Fair enough.
What I will say is, we need something like, any of you little graphic designers out there want to do this? Or Bocker, if you're watching. Do you know the trim? I'm sure you do, on the greatest achievement in world football ever.
Yes.
That trim on that shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Someone maybe needs to do like a Steve and Jay or Housen's Brew, but with that sort of trim.
Ah, right. Yeah. Now you're talking my language, brother. Yeah.
Like that.
Get on to Bocker if he's watching, he'll see this, but if he's not, we'll get on to him.
Yeah. And also, I was chatting to Rennie Mullenstein last night about the...
Mate, I am so jealous. I don't even know why I'm talking to you. Honestly, I'm not even... You know what? I am not joking.
Like everything, it came up organically.
Because, like, you may have noticed when me and Steve interviewed Rennie, I was looking at Rennie like he was Sunday dinner. It's like gazing into his eyes as he spoke because it was mesmerising. It's a treat, you know, we're massive United fans. And to hear a coach who was there during the most successful period in the history, or one of our most successful period in anyone's history, was amazing. So it was mesmerising. I loved it. And then when I see you going back and forth with him online and chatting about all sorts, well, it's great. It is great.
I was chatting to him about Johan Cruyff. Because I've just finished Cruyff's autobiography.
Right.
It's fucking good.
Does he mention how he came up against the greatest team in the history of club football?
He does.
In 91.
What was also very, very... Because I didn't know what he thought about United.
Right.
And I didn't have any sort of misconceptions or prejudices about what I thought he might think about us. Mm. But when he talks about Barcelona and the way Jordi was treated at Barcelona, it was like, and thank God, Manchester United came in for him.
Yeah.
A great club with great people. Sir Alex Ferguson's brilliant. And I was like, I didn't know this was his view. I didn't know this was his opinion on our club. And he was like, and you know what? It didn't work out for him, but they give him a go.
Yeah.
And then he went to Alaves and, you know, blah, 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 blah. Injuries finished him. Now he's coaching. He's lost all his air. So that was... that was the sort of juxtaposition. But yeah, he does mention Rotterdam, obviously. But then as we were talking to Rennie, I was like, what? From the outside, Johan Cruyff, Dutch legend.
Yeah.
I was like, what is on the inside? What is Johan Cruyff to Dutch people? And he went, it's the fucking greatest player who ever played a game. And I was like, all right, I can see that.
Yeah.
And I said, as a United fan, we grew up with so many legends.
Yeah.
You know, your granddads are telling you about George Best and Bobby Charlton and Duncan Edwards and Dennis Law and, you know, Brian Robson is like around him. He's probably a little bit younger than you, but like, then you got Cantona and you've got your Giggs. There was no time to be educated about Johan Cruyff. Was that the same for you?
Yeah, no, 100%, mate. You've nailed it. I grew up, obviously, like yourself, United dad. Got it against when I was young. It was all about United. Not saying like, you know, you don't watch other football, you don't hear about other football, but when my dad used to talk about other players, he'd talk about players like Maradona. But even that gets a United slant. Robbo had him in his pocket. Do you know what I mean? And then when I started going more, I saw that great Barcelona team, not the one in 91 that we beat, in 94. So I saw like Romario, Koeman, those types of players. And you're like, you know, you're forming your own opinions. Like, these
you already quite played in that game.
Did it? I don't even fucking remember that. So you know about these players. Obviously, you know about Johan Cruyff, but it's not hammered home to you.
But I'm pretty sure he played in that game.
Like it was with the best. I'm the same as you. Best, Law. You know, my dad raved about George Best. And my dad was devastated, as I'm sure a lot of fans of a certain age were when he passed away. Mm. I mean, he was gutted. Like, do you know what I mean? Truly gutted. And I think that, you know, you get that talk to you and you know about it. And you care, and it sounds a little bit sort of naive, not naive, but narrow-minded, but you care more about that. So I'm more likely to want to know about George Best and look up videos and than I am for Pele or Johan Cruyff or anyone else.
In fucking 1990, it wasn't like Google was a thing.
No.
Or YouTube was a thing. It was like, oh, this player was great. And you go, that's that then. That's a fact.
Oh, there's a documentary on him, you know, at 3 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday on Channel 4 one day. For the next 5 years, and that's your lot.
And it's in Israeli, but
he scored. That's it. Like, there was no, like, you say, even Google, was it? It was like, you know, you might be able to read up on him, but you couldn't just go and have a search and watch some videos on him. So, no, I didn't know a lot about those types of players, other than reputation.
That level's not in there.
That's great, isn't it? Is that 11 versus 11?
Yeah.
But I knew, obviously, that Cruyff was a legend. Bit of a strange one as well, isn't it? He didn't play any at 78 World Cup, didn't he? Because he said, what happened there? Come on,
so
you've read his book, tell me.
He decided he was going to retire at 31. So retired at 31.
Sounds a bit like Eric Cantona, doesn't it?
And I think he said, I think he retired like the May before the World Cup in the June.
Why?
Because he said he was retiring at 31 and he was like, well, I don't want to be thinking about retiring when I'm at a World Cup. He's mental, right?
Don't you think though, with the Dutch, and I don't mean to be like racist, but like Dutch have the like very certain ways, aren't they, sometimes?
I think so.
Like, they don't mess about, do they?
No, they're mental. I think I might be Dutch.
Yeah.
Do you when you see like Dutch people are always fucking arguing and I was like,
yeah. It's Dutch. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Housen. Do you have their own way? Like,
said aggressively, it's a Dutch name.
Yeah. Housen. Yeah. It's true that. That's a good point. But like, all the like, even the great Dutch players, they've got that edge, haven't they? Like, Van Nistelrooy had an edge.
Yeah.
Like, Van Persie had an edge.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
Louis Van Gaal, think he'd fight you.
Yeah. Like, do you know what I mean? So it's like, and like, what I love about Cruyff is, it's a bit like, it's on a different level, like with Keno. But with Cruyff, it's like, go to this World Cup, we've probably got the best team in the World Cup, you're probably going to win it. Got to the final last time, you come, you'll win it. No. What? But you'll win the World Cup? No.
He was in the commentary box for BBC for it. But what's funny is he goes, I was sitting there going, no, I should have gone. Because did they lose in extra time?
Lost, yeah. I think they were the overwhelming favourites, but I think Germany won. No, it was Argentina. Sorry.
Did they lose in extra time?
I can't remember.
Whatever it was. Yeah. And he was like, I was sitting there going, I don't mean to brag, but I'm pretty good. Probably would have made the difference in this game. I should have gone.
Yeah. No, it's like, yeah.
But what was also under wraps at the time was he had armed fucking robbers coming into his house trying to kidnap him. And he was like, when that happens, you kind of don't want to leave your wife and kids alone and fuck off to the other side of the world.
Right, okay.
Which is more understandable.
Yeah. Listen, you know, I'm not knocking. He's got his reasons, and if his family, you know, were suffering or whatever, and I get it. But it is, you know, it's a mad story, isn't it? The fact that you had a player who was... I don't think any player's been as guaranteed to win the World Cup as he would have been had he played. Do you know what I mean? It is literally like, if you come here, it's in the bag.
It's not like Roy Keane in 2002.
No, I mean, mate, don't get me started on that, because I'll argue that he could have won it. Right, all right, we're going to go down this rabbit hole, Steve. No, Steve, yay. Do you know what, mate? You said it, right? And I've had this on Twitter with someone, because you know I like to argue on Twitter. Right. Sorry,
all right,
mate.
Just clip this up, send it me later, yeah? Thank you.
Right. Ireland in 2002, where did he get to? The last 16, innit?
I couldn't
even. And they get knocked out on penalties, right? So they would have won that game with Roy Keane in that team. He's the difference between them losing that game on penalties and winning it in normal time. Roy Keane in his peak is the massive difference in that game. Right?
I'll accept.
And I think the next game would have been South Korea, so they couldn't have beat them.
What, I mean, there was
something like that. There was a path. It wasn't.
There was a rumor that they were doping, Jay.
All right, okay. I think it was something like Turkey, South Korea.
I might have started the rumor.
Right, okay. But there was a route to the. Oh, someone's saying in the quarters. Forgive me if I'm wrong. It's the quarters. There was a route to that final that wasn't the most difficult route. It was doable. And let's not forget, in 2002, Roy Keane was ridiculous. He was.
Just past his peak.
Yeah, but still, do you know what I mean?
That much past.
Yeah, like, we're talking Robbo in 92. Yeah? So, still the best player in the on the pitch, right? 99 times out of 100. So, I think he could have gotten to the final, and it's a final. Anything can happen. Anything can happen in a final.
Didn't Brazil play South Korea in a semi?
All right. Yeah, something like that. I can't remember.
So, I think Brazil ride Ireland.
Right. All right. It'd have been hard. It'd been difficult.
So, when you say no player's guaranteed to win a World Cup as much as Roy Keane.
No. I didn't say Roy Keane. I'm saying, you were saying that would have happened, but I'm saying he had a chance. I think he had a chance. Do you know what I mean? No one would have given Greece a chance in the Euros in 2004.
This is true.
Whenever it was. Yeah. So it can happen. I mean, it's very unlikely, even I'll admit that. But it's still a possibility. You got to the quarters.
Hell of a hill to die on, saying that you think Ireland would have won a World Cup in 2002. Easily, Jay.
Easily. What? Brazil? Ronaldo?
What have they ever done?
Shit, mate.
What have they ever done?
Exactly. Ronaldinho?
Where's their pedigree?
Never heard of him, mate. Anyway. Rivaldo? Bore off.
So, yeah. So Cruyff didn't go into the 78 one.
Yeah.
But fuck me. Not only what a player, but what a mind.
Yeah.
Because Ajax seem to have only just be sort of putting into play the shit that... Like, Ajax are considered a well-run club.
Yeah.
Right. Apart from what the last couple of weeks sort of tells us. Yeah. They forgot to register a player for the end of the window. Did you got popped for drugs? Did some other shit gone west? On the face of things, they're a well-run club.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is because Cruyff was like... Fuck these executives off. I want footballers making decisions. He goes, and I don't just want footballers making decisions. I want them qualified. Like, I want them to go to school. I want them to go and get experience. And then I want them to make decisions.
That's bad.
Now you see Van der Sar as CEO. You see Mark Overmars as technical director, I think he is.
Right, okay.
You see Dennis Bergkamp as over doing like youth development or something like that. This is fucking quality.
That's such a dream team, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you imagine being an Ajax fan, you look, I mean, compared to when you sort of see other clubs, including our own, and some of the higher ups that make decisions, not the manager, obviously, but above him. And then you look at that, and it's like, all right, so who's like the CEO? Van der Sar? Oh, yeah, he's pretty good.
He won a Champions League, yeah. I remember.
He kind of knows what he's doing. Yeah. All right.
And not only that, do you see their fans, like, during first lockdown, that was when I noticed it the most. Edwin's like working from home in his little office wearing an Ajax kit. You can't get mad at that, can you?
No, I love Van der Sar.
Yeah. Now imagine he was United CEO. So instead of that fucking turd, right?
Oh, sorry, he's not actually CEO technically, Steve. He's executive vice chairman, which just sums it up, doesn't it?
What is that?
What's that? Why is he giving himself that title?
What is that?
No one else calls themselves that. So why is he?
What is that?
I know.
Anyway, so it had been South Korea in the semis.
Yeah.
And then, South Korea in the quarters, Germany in the semis.
Right, and it wasn't do Germany. Crap, mate.
Right. What was I saying?
You were saying about Edwin van der Sar sitting in his Ajax kit.
Imagine him sitting there in a United kit. Men. Probably mean, still get abuse on Twitter because, you know, a lot of knobs follow us.
I don't know if you read that out. Did you read that out, Peter Kelly?
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
Cheers for the super chat, Peter.
Peter is always a big friend of the channel, Peter. Appreciate your support. It feels like he's doing that at the coaching level, though. Getting the pods in. Like, you Michael Carrick, Darren Fletcher's, you Nicky Butts. I just love to see the suits above him have, you know, a clue.
The whole fucking reason for this yarn, anyway, that was going on is... Because I was like, did you ever meet... Johan Cruyff to Rene, and he was like, yeah. And then he sends me a picture, and it's literally him and Johan Cruyff, and he was like, it was while I was at Barcelona, and I was like, Rene, you know when he was at Barcelona, don't you?
All roads. He messaged me, right? He messaged me, he goes, Jay, all roads lead to one place. No matter what, we always end up there, and rightly so.
Was a cool World Cup, 2002. It was. It was a cool World Cup.
I enjoyed that World Cup, sort of.
I swapped shirts with a lady. And we both weren't wearing bras. It was top.
Where was this?
Bar Centro in Ashton at 9:30 in the morning.
Bar Centro in Ashton? Ah. Yeah, I remember the
Argentina I was wearing game. A Kevin Keegan wig.
Fucking hell. Jesus, whaps. to be fair, though, when we beat Argentina, I was buzzing.
I was 17, Jay.
I was 22. Beckham getting his goal, man.
Have you ever seen an harder hit penalty?
No. I love the fact that there's a brief moment where Michael Owen thinks he's taking it. Move out of the fucking way. I'm silly.
But I've got a Ballon d'Or.
No, I don't care. I've got unfinished business, son. Annie Bro says...
Queuing up at 7 a.m.
Annie Bro says...
Fucking kids today don't know. All the recent... I'm going to keep interrupting you. All the fucking kids today have had World Cups at good times. Russia was amazing. It was like it was made for European audience, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Where was the one before Russia? Brazil. That wasn't terrible times. That was during the day here. That was fucking class. Before that one, Brazil, 2010. Jesus. Now,
I was there for
now. Now you're going back.
I went to Brazil.
UK times, fine.
No. I went to South Africa in 2010, sorry, and Brazil was 2014.
Yeah. So 2010, fine. Great times for us because I think South Africa's in the same time as UK, I think.
I can't remember.
Some bananas like that. Before that, Germany, Europe, sound. So that was the last good time. That was the last time we had a World Cup, which was had belting kickoff times.
Because didn't England play Brazil in the morning?
Literally just said, I was queuing up outside a pub at 7:30 I was trying to
read the comments.
In the fucking morning, Jay, before I was going to college.
College. Can't imagine you at college. Annie Bro says, do you read comments? Not really, Annie.
Sometimes.
It depends what they're about. If you want us to read it, mention the 1991 European Cup.
Then you've got half a chance.
And then we might read it. Well, we do. Do you know what I remember about a World Cup as well?
Hang on. Let me say.
I'll tell you what, you can ask your mate this.
Was it the Kevin Keegan wig?
Ask your mate this. Denmark, is he claiming that goal?
Oh, Rio?
Yeah.
I watched that.
He did a dance. He celebrated it.
I watched that particular game.
Yeah.
In the Lake District.
Did you? I can't remember where I watched it, but I watched it at someone's flat actually in town. But I remember Rio started dancing, Michael Owen peeled off, celebrating, and the bookies paid out on both. Because I'd Owen 3-0 and they paid out. And they also paid out. Made a big England World Cup fever. Find out if he claimed it and if it counts. So 2021 is looking up, hopefully, which means there should be lots of opportunities for you to grow your business and for you to hire more employees. It's something that we've been doing here at Stretford Paddock. We've been growing since we took over and hiring people. And one of the ways we've been doing that is via LinkedIn jobs, because what that can do is help you match your role with a qualified candidate. So you can find the right person and do it quickly. And when you've been looking around, I've been having a little look on LinkedIn, and it's pretty amazing because it's such a massive community. I think there's over 30 million in the UK. It helps you go to the roles and the people, that you're looking for. You can see who's got the qualifications and the experience that you need. And it's just it stops it being a long drawn out process and just sort of channels it so it's nice and quick and easy. And you can get the best candidates for your jobs. And it's something that we've used now, and we've got people working for us that we found via LinkedIn, so I can't recommend it enough. And we've teamed up with LinkedIn. So when your business is ready to make that next hire and find the right person with LinkedIn jobs, if you have a look on LinkedIn jobs, of course. And now the good thing is you can post for free. So just visit linkedin.com/devils. Again, that's linkedin.com/devils. And you can post, thanks to that link, the link's in the description, for free. So as I said earlier, loads of candidates there, over 30 million, no matter what the role, you should be able to find, or you will be able to find, the right candidate via LinkedIn jobs. And thanks to that link I've just described there, the offer we've got on, you can get it for free. So terms and conditions apply. Have a look. Luke H says, Keno would have slapped that fringe of R9's mallet.
Do you reckon he was halfway through a barber's and he's like, you got a game? Shit, all right. Let's just go. When did you lose interest in the England national team?
Go on.
I'd say the morning after Beckham's red card.
That's a great shout out, mate.
When I wake up and see a fucking dartboard with David Beckham on it.
That's a really good shout.
All right, I'm out.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
And fuck England.
I was similar. I mean, you tend to get sometimes caught up in it a little bit. Like I say, with 2002, with Beckham sort of back in it and, you know, scoring against Argentina. 2018, I quite got into it because of, you know, Marcus and Jesse and things like that. And the fact it was, in England terms, a fairly likeable England team because they didn't have any Gerrards or John Terrys who I cannot get behind.
I used to wind up, like, sitting mates up on Facebook. I mean, like, they were like, come on, England. I'm like, oh, I'm supporting Serbia in this one because of Vidic.
Like, it's mad though, isn't it? Because some people may remember, but after the Beckham red card, which was never a card anyway, it was horrible, wasn't it? Burning effigies. It was at Upton Park, burning effigies.
The whole of Wembley thing is stand up if you hate Man U.
Yeah.
There's five United players in the team.
Death threats.
What you want about.
Yeah. Chance to his misses. And, you know, they went on for years as well, you know, his kids and everything. Like you said, the dartboard on the back of the paper. You know, dross like 10 brave lions and one stupid boy as the headline. I remember one of the headlines. Just utter garbage.
I would watch international football hoping United players did well, no matter who they played for.
That's not being a top red, it's just
And that includes England when... Yeah. And the only time I actually give a fuck, and I don't actually remember whether I was giving a fuck or not, I was seeing a bird. She lived in Huddersfield. And
Huddersfield.
No H in that. And she was working in a city centre.
Down like, the pit. Down the mines.
Just a normal job, bullshit Saturday job you do at college and that. And... So it's was it October 2001? Something like that. So, I don't know if you've been to Huddersfield. It's like going back 24 years in time.
There's been misses in the comments. She supports Belgium. Because of Fellaini. Yeah, I'm sorry. Sorry, Steve. Do you know, she said, we were talking, you know, we're having, sorry to interrupt you, mate. We're having this conversation once, and she was going on about the run that they'd had to the semis. And I was talking about the same thing, and we realised I haven't seen it. Because I'm talking about England, she's talking about Belgium. So, what the fuck are you on about? But yeah, go on.
So, yeah, going to Huddersfield, it's like going back to 1987.
I went to Huddersfield once.
Did you come back with a sheep?
I can't remember. I might have done. Mm. Yeah, I think I did, actually.
So, I was walking around. Is it a city? I think it's a city, isn't it? Huddersfield. It's got a unit.
Has it got a unit?
Yeah.
Right. Is it one of those cities like Preston where it's just a city on a technicality?
Oh, right. Okay, maybe.
Yeah. Well, it's got a church.
Salford.
Yeah. I'm not saying that out loud. Salford's God's country.
Salford is a city and it's a real city.
Yeah.
And I apologise. So I'm walking around Huddersfield and I'm trying to find somewhere with the match on. And I'm like, what sort of fucked up inbred place is this? That? I can't even fucking watch the match. Not only am I stuck here... having a fucking wait for my bird like a dick. I'm now having a fucking mooch around the gaff trying to find somewhere with a working colour TV in 2001, Jay. 20 years ago. Jesus, I'm old. Anyway, so I end up having to walk. I mean, it's all hills in Huddersfield. You go uphill, yeah. You turn a corner, you go back uphill, right? So I found a pub. I think I found a pub. Turns out I'm in a biker bar. It's like a fucking Huddersfield Hells Angels. All right. Realistically, it's a lot of dudes that look like me now.
What type of inbred place is this?
In 2001, I was pure boy band material. Now I look like a biker, right?
I know, I've seen a picture of you like back in the day. You don't look like you.
No.
You just don't.
It looks maybe like that's why some people never saw me at games,
yeah,
Jay.
You just don't. It's just like another person.
Yeah. literally half a person. But anyway, so I goes and gets in this bar. It's about 5 minutes before I realise 17-year-old Steve, fit and all. Right, but pure boy band material.
Yeah, it is. I know you don't believe it, but you're telling the truth.
And I get a fucking like glass of Coke or something mad like that because I'm 17. I'm not drinking. And then I have a fucking scout out of the place, and I'm like, loads of dudes in here wearing leather vests, shirtless.
Stay.
There's two possible bars that can be.
Exactly, and we're not here to judge. Do you know what I mean, mate? If you went to a gay bar in Huddersfield, there's nothing wrong with that. It's fine.
Oh, it wasn't a gay bar. It was a biker bar.
Right, all right.
It was a gay bar. Might smell nicer.
All right, fair enough.
Because this smelt like pure fucking hay, right? Anyway, they brought sausages out, which was belting, by
is
the way.
Is that a euphemism?
Nope.
Are you sure it wasn't a gay bar?
100%. They brought like sausage and onion gravy out, and they just put them on the side and was like, dig in. And then they had like buttered bread, and I was like, this is fucking class.
This is quality.
They had a match on.
Right. I'm liking this.
And then when Beckham scored, so I've watched it,
yeah.
And I probably did what everyone did. Like, why is he having another fucking free kick?
Yeah.
You fucking couldn't hit a barn door today, lad.
Yeah.
Then he fucking top bins is it. The whole fucking place goes off, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And they had Steiners, they had 2-pint Steiners. Yeah. Steiners all round. I ended up forgetting that I was going to meet my missus and just getting smashed with all these bikers.
This sounds quality. They give you free
sausage
and gravy.
Yeah, with
which
onions.
Is mint, with onions.
That's onion gravy as well, so you know it's good onion
mate,
gravy.
That's such a... That's mint. That's amazing. Mm. And then also, then you're bringing out free Steiners. We're here in the city centre.
Do
we're
you know what,
we're
though,
out in the street on
I
the street.
I guarantee that's probably like an EDL HQ.
Yeah. It may
There's
be
a good chance.
Yeah,
of
to be fair, I don't know if they'd have let me in. I don't know if I'd have been getting sausage and onions and Steiners. And that. I might have been getting a Steiner wrapped around my head, but do you know what I mean? Happy days. Sausage and gravy, says Ross Murphy.
Like a deep tray of it.
Oh, mate. Deep. That's quality, that.
Do you sit there, you like, watching a match. Some sausages doing over there. Can't go first. There might be etiquette here. He's going up. He looks like he works here. Can't be second. Just give it a minute. Don't want him to go cold, though. That's thick gravy, though. Look how thick the butter is on that bread. I'm in.
Mate, I would think absolutely a lot less of you if you told me to get involved. In fact, I'd probably leave. I'd be like, this isn't the guy.
No, I'll probably try to stick four in one fucking round of bread. No, it fits. It fits. It fits. It fits. No, I like holding it on my hand sometimes.
That works as housing at a sausage fest in a biker's bar. What could possibly go wrong? That's actually true. Everything you've just said in that comment.
Don't worry about it.
Only a northerner would get a stiffy over gravy. Rightly so, says Dara Burke.
Jake with stick gravy.
Mate.
Like, if you go to some southern shandy drinking fucking gravy place, right?
Yeah.
You're going to get a wet hand. I didn't get a wet hand.
No.
Not even a wet hand. The
gravy's not, you know, there's different types of gravy.
Thick butter as well, Jake.
Oh, mate.
Like, it's... The butter's melted and liquefied now, mate, and that's running down. On. It's running down my chin, Jay.
Seriously, Northern lads love gravy.
Fucking do we?
Yeah, I know it's mint, isn't it?
Imagine not having
gravy.
Conflict. There's a geezer walked. I was in Andover once.
Right.
The geezer walked in, asked for battered sausage and chips.
Right.
And then left.
What? What's all that about?
I was like, "What are you going to fucking put?"
I think you had a word.
Sand to fucking dry it out a bit. What you talking about?
Oi, you, what'd you just ask for? What's the matter with you?
Or if they have curry sauce, Jay, comes in a packet.
It's disgusting, that. Doesn't count. That is horrible. It's actually wrong. Well, hey, repping Andover, says CTB. Santa
I've made food sexual. Have I made food sexual? Why do you think I'm fucking as fat as I am?
Someone says, should Paddock branch into food reviews? Christopher Hawkins. This is my favourite ever super chat. Read it out with the respect it deserves. It
says, super chat just out of respect for gravy.
Mate, Christopher Hawkins, you've smashed it, son.
Do you remember this is Ross Murphy super chat. He says, do you remember the Royal Family Christmas episode where the daughter invites the whole family over for gravy and the gravy's full of water?
Yeah, I remember that. Do you know what I love about that as well? She says, I can't remember. I think it's like Bisto or something, isn't it? She says, oh, do you like it? It's my mum's recipe.
The royal family's genius.
It is amazing.
Hey, they mentioned Drawson on that as well, which meant everyone nuts in our house.
Oh, no. They really?
Yeah, apparently it's posh. Where is it meant to be set if Drawson's posh?
I don't know, because it's weird, because the kids are obviously Manc.
James are Scouser.
It's obviously Manchester. It's Manchester area, like, because Ralph Little and obviously Carolina Hearn. Jim's a Scouser. Sue Johnson's like Beatles type Scouser. And then Twiggy's a Scouser as well. But Darren as well. Our mate Andrew Wyman's Manc. So they're all the youngsters.
Do you know I was in a pantomime with him?
Andrew Wyman?
I was 11.
Seriously?
100% true story.
I mean, you wouldn't make that up. That's not something you'd make up. I was in a pantomime with Andrew Wyman, were you?
Sadly, a big deal, is it? No. Oldham Theatre Workshop.
Really? In Oldham. That's meant that. He stands, he used to stand, when I was standing Jay, he was in front of me. Sort of like that, actually, massive United fan. I think I've always thought of it as like...
I was a rat, Salford. By the way. He was the king rat and I was a rat.
See, careers rat. Went different paths. Mm. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? We have to get him... You know what? We spoke to him once on messaging him. He's all about coming on a podcast. We'll have to reach out to him and get him on air when all this nonsense ends. Mind you, we can still get him on now. Yeah, let's do that.
I've still got some tests left.
Yeah? Let's do it. Pie and mash, says Jesse Saylor. Not for me. Not without a load of gravy on it.
Have you seen, like, pie and mash in out there London? It's green, Jay.
What's all that about? What's that shit they put on it? What is that? What's that all about?
I saw. I think Rio's done a fucking like a documentary have a word. About that. And so's why? David Beckham. And the restaurants that they go in, so I don't know if you call it a restaurant or a caf, they look nice. Like, there's an old school vibe about them that I kind of dig. But then you go, what's that green shit, mate?
I did a thing at uni once where pie and mash. And it was like they were talking a foreign language when we were in there. Me and one of these girls.
What is the green shit?
I don't even
know. Like parsley sauce or something like that.
And it's like, it's in East End, mate. What?
Yeah.
What are you on about?
So Cotton in the riddle.
Yeah. Like, you know what, mate? Dad
was fucking painful. Yeah, fucking pain. It fucking hurts, all right. Fucking hurts. Jesus.
Hey, have you got any gravy, mate? do you do chip balms?
Muffins.
Yeah. Whoa. Muffin. Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know this about
muffin.
You.
Muffin.
Whoa.
It's a fucking muffin, Jay.
It's not a muffin. It's a balm.
No, it ain't.
So you go when you ask for a chip balm, you ask for a chip muffin.
No, because I asked for a chip muffin.
Oh, for fuck's sake. East Manchester, man. Get a grip. See, it's like a different world over there. Do you know what I mean? Droylsden way and Ashton way.
More fucking serial killers, though.
That's a very good point.
And potentially.
That's a very good point.
The world's best. Number one, shipman.
Did I tell you about the time I did a... I shouldn't even tell you this, but I will tell you anyway. And I'm not mocking you.
Did he kill more old people than COVID?
I don't know. I don't think he did. But I remember.
In Hyde?
It was the Hideway, wasn't it? Hideway. And, like, there was a shooting there once. And I remember going there. And I said it was, you know, it was when Dale Creagan was about. And I said, you know, we've had these shootings here and there's two police officers been shot. And I said, the eyes of the world are on this town. And I interviewed this guy. I just asked him, I said to him, like, you know, people look at this town and they'll think it's a horrible place. You know, what would you say to those people? And he said, well, he said...
yeah, it is.
He said Myra Hindley grew up down the road. He said, Harold Shipman was a local doctor. And he said, and now these two police officers have been shot. He said, but other than that, it's a lovely area.
Yeah, but
one of the three worst crimes in British history?
Jay, they're decades apart.
Do you know... Oh, well, in that case...
No, I'm saying.
Do you know what I mean? What's the schools like around here? I'm thinking of moving. Honestly, oh,
underpopulated,
absent, yeah, empty. Absent Duck says it's muffin up here in Bury, Jay. There you go. You've just lost some brownie points. You on Bury side, are
so
you?
So what? Yeah, but bam! What the fuck is that?
Andy Jarvis says, Jay, while you've gone from dividing the nation by nation, then by north and south, then by east and west of your own city in one conversation.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. You don't get me started.
Ermston, Eccles, and Salford, get in the fucking corner over there. The rest of Manchester will be all right.
Get involved in the comments, man. Back me up. There's far too many muffins going on here. Where's the BAM brigade at?
Right, listen. Sometimes you can't beat the smell of good bread, can you?
No, you can't.
And you can't beat the smell of Manscapes.
Wow.
Not only...
Effortless. Seamless.
Did it make your ball smell good? Right. Now your face can smell good too. Or other parts of your body.
Is this why you smell a bit nicer today?
I always smell fragrant.
You do, but you smell a little bit nicer today. Is it because you've been using it Manscapes Refined?
That's because... I am refined, Jay.
You are refined.
So, hang on. It says do not read this. Why the fuck would you put do not read?
Oh my God.
Why would you put do not read in the middle of an ad?
This is the...
What do you think's
going
to happen?
Yeah. What is going on here? This isn't what you should be showing him. I'm worried.
Scroll down. I can't read the whole line that says do not read. It says don't read.
Oh, right. I'm with you now. Right.
Don't talk about your balls on this one. Sound. Right, here's what it says. Everyone knows Manscapes is the... It says today in front of the words. Come on, man, play the game. There we go. Everyone knows Manscapes as the perfect package 3.0 for all of your below-the-waist grooming needs. But they don't stop there, Jay.
They don't, do they?
Complete your grooming game with the refined cologne, the signature scent by Manscapes. I'm going to open a box, Jay.
Go on, go for it. You know what I like about that? I like the wooden lid.
Good, no.
Is it?
It is good.
Right. Slider.
I can't, because it's not sanitary.
All right, okay, well.
With the same signature scent that is in all of Manscaped's formulas, the cologne, that means perfume for blokes.
Right.
Is a perfect complement to any collection. It's light. It's approachable. And it's gentlemanly in all the right ways. Think of it as your wingman.
Nice.
Every night to keep you fresh and ready for anything. Like skydiving.
Exactly. Great analogy.
Imagine having BO when you're skydiving.
Nothing worse.
Don't need that. You want to smell
embarrassing.
Fresh. Yeah. Especially because you're usually, if you're, unless you're a professional skydiver, you're usually like baby beyond to a whole other dude. You don't want him going, Jesus, this guy smells
this
like...
This guy absolutely
smells like
reeks.
Fucking beans and feet.
Do you know what I mean?
It's calming, it's inviting, and it's a signature scent that introduces a light citrus burst before settling into the anchoring notes of... A woodsy, masculine finish, apparently. 50 ml spray is even more hypoallergenic, cruelty-free, dye-free, paraben-free, and it's 100% vegan. Well, that's me sold. It's a beautifully designed glass bottle. Look... It's aftershave. It's all right smelling. Crack on. And you can get 20% off and free shipping by going to manscaped.com and using the code HOUSEAND20. Your balls and now your body will thank you. That's manscaped.com, 20% off. Crack on.
I think you did really well there.
I smashed it, I think.
I didn't even get the impression you were reading that. It seems to be just natural.
Yeah. Especially with that whole do not read part.
Yeah. To be fair, I'm not even blaming you for that. I'm blaming Baggers who's producing. For putting that on the screen.
The first
just
line.
To confuse the issue.
Do not read.
Do not read.
Jesus.
Let's never do that again. Someone's saying gravy balls. I don't know. Hashtag gravy balls, says Chris Man United Devil.
Ooh, gravy. Scousers call it a sarnie. Yeah.
More than that. That's, going back to Rennie Meulensteen and Johan Cruyff.
Oh, yeah.
He sent you a picture, didn't he? Can you not share that?
I told you that before.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm refreshing your memory about it and I'm asking you a question on based on that.
So young René and Johan. Show me the screen a sec so I can make sure it's right on. Just move the comments and put it back on me.
Look at that.
Bit bright, that, innit? Turn my brightness down.
You're not...
There you go.
That's young quality.
Young René.
Oh, yes.
And a young, where is it? Johan.
He's a chain smoker, one of Johan Cruyff.
Yeah.
Hey, that's mad, isn't it? Well, Bobby Charlton, a chain smoker,
was he?
I think so. Back in the day, though, so people used to chain smoke as they were running down the wing. Do you know what I mean? It was just the dumb thing, wasn't it? You know what I mean? Yeah, so you're having a conversation with René and Johan and reading his book.
Comments. Yeah, so wanted to learn more. Really, about Johan Cruyff. So yeah, I asked René, you know, what's the Dutch people think of him? Because from the outside, I don't think you can always tell. I think sometimes you've got to ask someone. Like, I bet if you asked, like, someone who's got, like, a weird perception maybe, like Beckham, probably a bit underloved in England, if anything.
Yeah.
And I bet if you asked, like, Spanish people, I bet they go, oh, I bet everyone loves Beckham in England.
That's a good point.
And then they go, no. You know, so I thought I would ask a Dutchman and say, you know, what's your sort of perception of the guy? And he was like, yeah, best player that's ever played for.
Is there any resentment towards him for not playing in that 78 final?
In Holland?
World Cup, sorry, yeah.
Think so.
A little bit, like, that was our chance and you cost it us, basically.
In his autobiography, he kind of says, yeah, well, it was a campaign to, I can't remember what the campaign was called. It was literally like get René to Argentina sort of thing. Not René. Get Johan to Argentina,
right, okay.
Change Johan's mind or something like that. It was proper, like, catchy thingy. But yeah, he wasn't having it. Like you said, stubborn guy.
This is it though, isn't it?
But like, proper saw his ass with a lot of people a lot of times because he wanted it to be done his way. That was it.
Is he the patient zero at Barcelona? Is he the one that leads to everything?
Rinus Michels might have.
Right. You know what I'm on about here, don't you? For anyone who doesn't, because...
No, I do.
Guardiola, Mourinho.
I'll pull it out further. Yeah,
right. Guardiola, Mourinho, Van Gaal, like, they've all come from Barcelona.
Even, like, doesn't AVB come through a little bit of
AVB
that
from Mourinho, yeah. There's like...
Cruyff.
Like the family tree.
What's it called? Louis?
Yeah.
Rijkaard?
Yeah, it's, you know, it all goes back to Barca.
Is that book, Jonathan Wilson's book,
right, okay.
The Barcelona Legacy? It should be called the Johan Cruyff Legacy.
Is he the start of it all?
Rinus Michels really is big in...
I'm not going to pretend. I know who he is.
I think he was Ajax manager, but he was also a Dutch manager.
Okay.
And I think he was the guy, and again, without this move, this probably doesn't happen, but I think Rinus Michels was the guy that took Cruyff to Barcelona in the first place.
Ah, right, okay. And then, obviously, Cruyff takes over as manager, and then we start seeing all these players who and people.
Yeah,
and
he had a big hand in wanting all sorts of stuff, youth development-wise and training-wise and tactics-wise and all the rest of that sort of thing. And La Mesa and arguably, like, your Iniesta, Xavi generation is Cruyff's.
Right, okay. Yeah.
Really. Even though, like, he's removed from them, the legacy's his.
Yeah.
Really.
Well, sometimes it's like that. It's like with the Scouts, isn't it? Everyone goes about Shankler. Now, Paisley won a lot more. And I don't like using Scouts as an example, but it works. But Shankler's the one that started it all. He's the one that turned them from, you know, whatever they were, elite.
Wasn't Paisley a physio?
I can't remember what he was. But
it's something like that.
Yeah, something like that. And yeah, he might be right, actually. And then he has, you know, wins all those, you know, European Cups by playing part-timers all the way to the final. But, you know, Shankler's the one that started it. So is it like that with Barca? Cruyff's the one that's... Obviously, they're a massive club, but he's the one. I mean, the first Champions League was under him, wasn't it? Because they didn't win the first one until 92, did they?
Yeah, after they lost to us.
Yeah.
In the bigger competition.
In the bigger competition, the one that matters. Yeah. Then thought, hang on, we're not going to win a Europe Cup Winners' Cup because United beat us, so we'll try and win this European Cup thing. That's obviously a little bit less prestigious, but still counts as a trophy.
But yeah, he was instrumental in that. But when you look at, like, the fingerprints of it just go across Europe and the sort of, like, the reverberations of what he tried to do. Pep is a disciple of his. He's also a disciple of Bielsa. But the kind of all roads really lead a lot to Cruyff. And
it's mad for a player who was that good, because you don't get that.
No, you don't.
Players who were the top level, and I mean the greatest ever.
I just fucking beat Forbes and bang it in the corner. What's the matter with you?
Yeah. What do you mean you can't do that? Right, get out. Watch. There you go. Now, just repeat what I've just done. Well, you're fired. But you don't tend to get the players, like, you know, look at the greatest players we've seen, some of the best players we've seen. Brian Robson, didn't really happen for him as a manager. Roy Keane, didn't really happen for him as a manager. I know Scholes still sort of finding his feet or whatever. But, you know, the best players, and especially the very, very best players, don't tend to have success as a manager. He's the exception to that rule because, I mean, maybe now you can throw in Zidane as well, but Cruyff was one of the best players ever and then had unparalleled managerial success.
Zidane's not, like, written the doctrine on how to be a footballer and like, gone, no, you're all doing player development wrong. This is how you do it.
Yeah.
Zidane's won some trophies.
Yeah.
But has he changed football? No.
No.
He's played the game as it is. He's understood the rules and played it exactly. He's not looked at the whole sport and gone, I think we need to rip this up.
It's almost Busby-esque, isn't it? Mm. And I won't say that lightly, but it's that whole thing of looking at it and going, no. Like,
it working.
Yeah, I know something everyone else doesn't know.
You get loads of people who scroll shit in, you know, or scroll fucking things on walls in toilets in shit. It doesn't mean they're right, you know, and it doesn't mean that they're successful with their fucking mad hairbrained ideas. But both Busby and Cruyff managed to look at the entire picture, and I would argue Fergie never changed the game.
No,
Fergie was ultimately very, very successful, but he wasn't himself a revolutionary of the game. There's not a post and pre Ferguson except Manchester United.
No.
That it doesn't go around the game. Now, he might have had a big impact on certain things in the Premier League, but he's not changed the game. So Matt Busby changed the game by saying, you can play young lads and watch what they do.
And a manager can put his tracksuit on and get on the pitch with them.
Mental.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
What are you doing? Why are you not in your office?
Where's your trilby?
Yeah. And we are going to play in Europe. That's the future.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
visionary.
Completely. In so many ways that are still felt now.
Yeah.
No one's ever going to change the fact that Matt Busby, when Chelsea said, no, we're not going to do it because the FA won't let us, Matt Busby said, well, we'll do it. We'll do, you know what I mean? It's, you're always going to have that. Yeah. And it always goes back to him.
And I think Cruyff is that. Cruyff. And yeah, in 100% that.
It's fascinating, it really is.
And I don't know how many more people would want to say Pep was, but not really. He built on what Rijkaard had done, and he built on what Cruyff had done, and he built on what Bielsa had done, but I'm not sure he's entirely changed the game. Norwich City played fucking tiki-taka in 1993.
Southampton under your mate Potts played tiki-taka.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? It doesn't, you know... But
it's not... This isn't new. People have played possession football, but really, it came. Do you want me to bore you and blow your mind at the same time?
Go on.
So in the first football
international... I mean, we'll read the Super Chat in a minute, Baggers, don't worry.
The first international between England and Scotland, which I believe was 1872.
Right.
England was a much bigger side, known for the kick and rush kind of game, yeah, which was all about charging. And Scotland looked at it and went, we'll get fucking murdered. So let's pass the ball around.
Yeah.
And Scotland didn't lose for the first 16 internationals because they basically developed a passing style of play which was completely at odds to everything that was being done on the world stage at the time. So passing game versus like the more physical sort of direct game, it's happened for 150 fucking years already.
Right, okay.
129 if you want to get technical.
I'm glad you did the maths because I wasn't able to.
So, 149. Like, it's not brand new.
Right.
Like, but some of the concepts of Busby, some of the concepts of Cruyff, and I'm fascinated by him. And, I'm open to, Brian Clough fascinates me. Did he change the game? Not really. Ultimately successful playing within the parameters of the rules of games that exist.
There's a difference, isn't there, between changing a game and doing something in a different way. Do you know what I mean?
Like, Clough extraordinarily is one of successful. A
kind. Yeah.
And he was that.
Yeah. Unbelievably successful. Did things that, even to this day, we look at and go, that's mental. But it worked for him.
What he did was basically taking over where Nottingham Forest are today and winning a Champions League for them in 24 months. Imagine me sitting here going, here's what we're going to do.
Yeah. You go, that's not happening, is it? Yeah. Is it not?
That's literally what the fucking crank did.
Right, let me just read these because I've got Joe Prespoluski. Are there Italian delis in Manchester? If you're ever in the US, you should go to one. If that's an invite, we'll be there.
I'm sure there are, but I don't know of any. Yeah. I mean, Northern Quarter's got everything.
Oh, God, yeah. Stephen McKinney says, Matt Busby got it from Jock Steen. I don't know if that's true.
I don't know if that's true.
I think
certainly
that
not the youngsters.
And if you look at it, Matt Busby as well, he was doing that in the army during the war, working with like Joe Mercer, I think was his assistant at one point, who went on to obviously have success with City without spending £5 billion in the process.
I don't really know.
Half City fans probably don't even know who he is. But Busby was doing it sort of from day one throughout his career. So there was a sort of connection there. A lot of these coaches knew each other and worked together and were actually friendly. But I don't know if he got it from him. I think Busby was a pioneer. And he's renowned as the godfather of football for many reasons. And that's one of them. And you know my thoughts on Jimmy Murphy as well, who was a massive part of all that. But they pioneered it. People like Clough, like Pep Guardiola, like Mourinho. I don't think they're necessarily changing it the way things are done. They're just very good at it, at what they do. Mm. And they're incorporating different styles that are already there. Whereas, you're talking about someone like Cruyff, like your Busbys. They're inventing things. Mm. You know what I mean? Literally, that's not been done before.
Mm. So, I'm well open to, if anyone else has got any other recommendations for shit like that, I'd be bang at any of those.
That's a good point, by Santa Notch. Peter Taylor is the most underrated coach. Clough was the main man, was the man manager, but Taylor was the scout and found the players for him. Post-Taylor, Clough was less successful. Yeah, that's a really good point, Matt.
I think he was also a proper piss can, which clearly affected a lot of things.
But they obviously work well together. And I think to a lesser degree, it was the same with Murphy and Busby. I think those two were perfectly complemented each other. Yeah. And a lot of the time, Murphy was doing the sort of one-to-ones and the, nurturing that, and it was Busby.
That's it. I don't necessarily think we've had any of the sort of storytelling in depth, maybe as much as we could have, about what the relationships of a lot of those people was like. And even with Fergie, it's still a massive fucking mystery. And, I do my best that, I absolutely bend the fucking ears out of anybody I managed to get that's worked under him and that to try and to get some sort of an insight. And we tried it here with Rene. Like, what does a day look like from 9 o'clock? Go.
Mate, it was just me. It's like RH in the coach says, Alison football genius, by the way.
Yeah, RH knows.
RH. Up the RH.
Jock Steen's still playing while Busby was building the babes.
Yeah, I don't. Danny Eagleton, glad you mentioned Jim Murphy's impact on MUFC. Should never be able to. I'll mention him every week. I'm on this podcast for a reason, mate.
Ian Greenhouse says, you should study Jimmy Hogan. He invented total football at the Dutch and the Barcelona used. Okay, I will do.
Have you ever looked at like South America? I know you have, but I'll ask you anyway. South American football.
Yeah,
the things
I want to go.
It's mad, isn't it? Because a lot of that started from people going over from Europe.
Yeah.
And You've got unheard of Scotsmen and people.
That's why
they've
got like Corinthians and stuff. They're all got like British kind of names. Yeah. So some random dickhead just went over there and was like, This is a football. What? Now kick along, natives.
Yeah. Oh, hang on a minute.
No, don't pick it up with your hands, you savage.
Yeah. Oh, what's this? Now you're better than everyone else, aren't you? That's it.
No, don't play it in the street with no socks. What are you doing? Kick it harder.
It's mad. It is. But I love all that. I love all those stories when you look at like Argentinian football, the influence of some of the people who went over there and obviously Brazil.
Athletic Bilbao.
Yeah.
They're not called Atletico. It's called Athletic Bilbao. So. It's a British guy. That, I think it was Newcastle he's from, I think.
Something really?
Like, something like that.
It's quality. That.
Might be wrong. Might have been Southampton, which is where they play red and white, maybe.
Oh.
One of those. Yeah. Football in South America was started by the Englishman who went to work there on the railways and, yeah.
See? Some knowledge in our comments, isn't there?
Corinthians is from the Bible, come on. Yeah, but it was also from a guy that was part of the club Corinthians in the UK, I believe, that went over there. It was Sunderland. I thought it was Sunderland.
Ah.
Typical Brits going everywhere. and then moaning when we get beat by him.
I'd say one thing that's been good about this podcast. We've proper nailed the defence, the centre-back.
Fuck that, no one cares.
Does anyone, do you think anyone actually watches that podcast now thinking they're going to talk about this title? And what's
I hope not.
I don't know. What is it you said?
Fuck them.
Well, no, not that. And you didn't mean it. Remember when we were Mint podcast?
Yeah.
That's what we did there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? We talk about 99 World Cup and the Cup final. Alison goes through what books he's read and whether it's a muffin or a chip bar, and we all know the answer. And then, yeah, that's the way it takes us.
Do you know how close rugby was to being the game that the world...
See, you're losing me now. Go on.
No, but you never know. It could have started like this. So rugby was extremely close to being the game that the world played. And what was the fucking reason?
Is this... I know you're going to get angry, but I'll ask you anyway. Is it rugby league or union?
Unfortunately, it was rugby union, so right. I'm not happy about
right,
this.
Okay.
But it was literally about, you know, which game got there first. Really.
Because rugby union is quite popular, isn't it, in like South America still, like Argentina.
A couple of spots.
Like, yeah, a couple Argentina of are quite big into it, I know. But it's not like that. But yeah, you're right, cause like Brazil, I don't think it's massive over there and other places.
It's a pure fucking tourist sport. So the reason that the Rugby Football League split from it in 1895 was because the Northern Mills and stuff like that, and literally Rugby League might as well be called the fucking M62 sport because it goes from like St. Helens all the way to Hull.
Yeah.
And then does like Salford, Leeds, fucking Bradford,
etc.
In the middle, Castleford. That's it, really.
It is mad that like the towns are massive on rugby league because it's like such a odd mix.
It's literally the M62. It's like every junction, you know, from fucking Saddleworth, Halifax, like you literally go across the M62. Yeah. Well, they got a town. Have they got a team? Who? Unslet? Of course they fucking have. What are you talking about? No, where's this? St. Helens. Where's this? Wigan. Yeah, of course they've got a fucking town, you dick. Salford. It's literally M62. But the reason they all fucking split from what was going down south is down south they wanted to keep it as strictly amateur.
Yeah.
But back in the day, like in the 1860s, 70s and 80s, they was getting more crowds than football was.
Really?
Yeah, I'll have to dig it out and I'll get it for the next podcast, the reason why football and not rugby became...
Is it not just because football's better?
No. No, it's a mad reason where you go, fucking hell, really? Because you look at Hull, Hull's got one football team and DOS rugby league teams.
Yeah.
That could have happened more places.
Do you mean Wigan? I know they've got Wigan Athletic, but it's a rugby town.
Of course it is.
Do you know what I mean? It really
is. I mean, St. Helens.
Yeah, mate, come on.
One of the most successful rugby league teams ever. And St. Helens football team are in North West Counties.
Exactly. And look at where St. Helens is. And like, you're surrounded by all these football teams that are uber successful, but you're a rugby town.
And in Leeds, you've got a very successful rugby league team. And I don't even know what their football team is.
Warrington's in between Manchester and Liverpool. Yeah. Now, Manchester's got a lot, well, it's got one big football team. I think the Scousers might have a couple of teams, I'm not sure. Yeah. And yet they're rugby town.
That's it. But it's on the M62.
See, it's mad, isn't it?
Hey. But yeah, it's very interesting about how and why. So obviously, 1895, the Northern Rugby Union.
Witness, someone says. Yeah, good point.
It's got a junction on the M62. What's it called? The Northern teams wanted to pay their workers for having Saturday afternoons off so they could play.
Yeah.
And obviously all the fucking Tories down south was like, oh, you don't play for money.
No, it's a gentleman's sport.
Yeah, bingo.
Right.
And rugby union only went professional, even though it fucking definitely was professional before this, in like the 90s.
Really?
1990s.
Bloody hell. That's mental.
That's how you know it's Toried up as fuck.
I think we've complimented a lot of people on this podcast tonight, me and you. Especially you. You've complimented everyone in Huddersfield. Everyone likes rugby union. Cockneys. Have I missed anyone out? No, I think that's it, yeah. Been full of it. Who was that? Tories as well, yeah. Done well.
What's their problem, mate?
No, I'm not arguing about it.
Rugby and lacrosse. And
Peter Kelly again. He says, I like international rugby union since it's the only sport other countries play that Ireland are actually good at. Fair enough. I've never got into rugby, mate. I haven't. I know you used to play it for Salford, didn't you? And I'll allow that because it's Salford. Well done. I used to cover it slightly. I used to cover the press conferences rather than the actual games, more or less. Because he had, was it Marwin Kukash? He was just
off his
box office.
He's a United fan as well.
Mate, some of the most bonkers press conferences I've ever been in, and I've been in Louis van Gaal press conferences, were with him.
Yeah.
Where he'd literally just get his, well, not literally, but he'd get players and throw them right under the bus.
He sold the club back to the fans.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which you've got to respect. And in doing so, they appointed a couple of ex-players to the board and obviously went on and had their most successful seasons ever.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. He just seemed like...
I mean, he's fully batshit crazy.
Yeah, I was about to say, like...
But yeah, in fact, you've got to give him props for being the guy that sold the club back to the fans. Rugby league, epic to watch. Rugby union's epic to play. Wrong. Right, here's the fact, right? So obviously, I don't know how many of you know this.
Go on, I was going to ask you something.
I used to play rugby league up until I was 21, and then people realised that I wasn't that good, and I never got offered a contract to play first team. But I played academy for 5 years.
Right, okay.
From 2000 to 2005, right. I was playing academy, rugby league, Super League academy, for a couple of years with Salford, 3 years with Salford, and then I joined the army, and then did a year with Keighley, and then did a year with Doncaster Dragons.
Okie doke.
Now, rugby league's hard. Rugby league's like doing a bleep test and getting like attacked by a gang in the middle of it like 4 or 5 times,
right.
Getting twatted.
Right.
That's how you feel after you've done it. It's like an 80-minute bleep test with assault in the middle.
Yeah.
Rugby union. So I'd play a game of rugby league, right?
Yeah.
And I know you look at me now and I'm fat and you go, don't think so. But the one thing I had about me was fitness and work rate.
Yeah.
That was literally all I had in my locker. I wasn't big for my position. But I had fitness and work rate, and I would fuck you up.
Right, okay.
And I'm not taking it in because that's a mugs game. But I'll do 40, 45, 50 tackles a game, right. Which is a fucking severe amount of tackles.
You are right, because I don't know anything about this, so you're speaking to a layman.
Now, I saw Ireland Rugby Union piping himself off because one of their players made 8 tackles in a game.
And you were like, doing 40?
40 to 50. It's just such a different level.
Is there a massive difference between union and league?
Yeah.
Because I, which
so,
is...
So, everything's just intensified.
Right, okay.
The clock stops when the ball goes out in rugby league.
Right.
The clock never goes out. Join the fucking about kicking it lineups, yeah, all yeah, that. Yeah. Like, clock stays going.
Okay.
I could play a game of rugby league and I need to go and have a nap afterwards.
Right.
Fuck, like literally yeah, drained. Yeah. I could play a game of rugby union. Play another game of rugby union.
Right.
Like I played for my regiment in the army, which is apparently seen as a big thing.
Yeah.
And I was bored.
Really?
Bored, mate.
Is it right, okay. Yeah. Is it a lot of people play both? Because I know that became a thing, didn't it? Like when was it Martin Afire and all that switched codes, as you say, but
not really.
Right.
Martin Afire was at Salford when I was there.
Was it?
It's like having Pele in your team.
Yeah. I remember because even I was never into rugby, but I knew Martin Afire was. Because he was like the superstar, wasn't he? Like Ellery Hanley or someone like that.
Had a right pipe on him as well. Just saying. Owen says, I played rugby union. The league is so much more intense. So many people can hide in a union game. Here's the thing as well. When I say rugby league is like a bleep test, you're literally doing that. You're 10 metre back and forward retreating and attacking. You've got to move the defensive line up to put pressure on the attack. In rugby union, they stand there.
Right.
Now, this alone means that the collisions are intensified in rugby league because I'm running at you and you're running at me. So it's like a fucking car crash. Whereas rugby union, I'm standing still, but you might have only picked the ball up there and then ran at me. It's not an intense collision.
Right, okay.
So like a rugby league tackle is multiples of the intensity of a tackle. So it's harder every time you tackle and you're doing 10 times the tackles. Right. Madness.
To be fair, whenever I've watched either, and I don't watch a lot of it, it just looks a bit too violent for me. Mate. I'm not into more like me. I know you are. You're a lunatic, but I'm not. I'd rather not get me a kicked in whilst playing a sport, if I can be brutally honest.
So much more skill required for union. No. just no. No. What does that mean? I was a loose forward. Now, good loose forwards, like the fucking like generational loose forwards like Ellery Handley.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
They're going to fucking smash you. They're going to tackle the living fuck out of you. Then they're going to pick the ball up, beat a few men, mix play up, link play up, stuff like that. Well, the reason I'm not a professional rugby league player is I didn't do that. I only did the defending part of the game. I was shit going forward. I was quick, but you know, I wasn't very good.
I mean, you know, at least you had your time there in the academy. Someone to tell the grandkids, innit?
I played against Australia as well.
Really?
A test match, yeah.
You know.
Google a guy called Brent Tate.
Brent Tate.
Yeah. His neck's about as wide as my belly is now. The week before, he had made his debut in the senior Australia team at 17.
At 17?
17. The guy was a fucking machine. He looked like Terminator.
Jesus, right?
17 years old, played a full test match for Australia. The following week, plays against Stephen Howson from YouTube. Must have been like a fucking night off for him. Honestly, I don't think I made an inch on him all night. He just fucked me up. Anytime I got it, he was there. He folded me up and he fucked me off.
I don't think there's any shame in that, to be brutally honest with you, mate.
It was like trying to tackle a boulder every time I went near him.
You don't need to be too embarrassed about that one.
So yeah, Google him, Brent Tate. He fucked me up, basically.
Seems to be a lot of people that know a lot or have a big interest in rugby, which is interesting.
A lot of Northerners watching, maybe.
Yes, maybe there is.
But yeah.
So there you go then.
So that's
covered the centre back issue at Manchester United. I hope we've cleared that up for you. So now you know who we're going to be getting.
See, as Shaz has got the fucking mood of the room in here, he goes, your club became a joke when your fans didn't drive out Pogba. That's exactly what we're talking about, mate.
He's took the pee all the time he's been there.
Right,
okay, yeah. I'm glad you've commented on that.
I think Notch might have just Googled him.
What a neck cheese. Yeah. Joe West says, is he related to Andy Tate?
I don't think so. They cancelled a lot of the start-stop in league with the intro of the
I think there's a few people Googling this, laddie, because Ross Murphy just said, Jesus, look at that neck.
Yeah, I can't tell you how much of a night off I give him.
Well, I'm going to have a little Google.
There's a couple of times where I've said something fucking stupid. I know you're thinking, Steve, that's not you.
Steve Howson, say something stupid.
I played for Manchester. When Manchester was playing National League 3, and my old man was a coach. And I think I was 16. So I'm fucking 16. I was never big. So I'm probably fucking all of 5'9" at the time. You're just Googling him.
Yeah, I am. what?
So look.
He's got like some sort of thing on there, I think, to keep it in place.
Yeah, he's a fucking unit. He played centre. So he played as a back. Yeah, he absolutely fucking bent me in half.
He's got a right neck on him.
Yeah, he fucking murdered me. So there's a couple of times I say things like this. We beat our fucking opposite man, we win the game. Simple as that. Joe, pure cliche shit.
Yeah.
It's not changed.
No.
So before kickoff, that's my fucking vibe. I'm psyching myself up.
Yeah.
And I'm
passion.
Usually fucking very aggressive and fucking shouty. And I said something along the lines of, we beat our opposite man, we win the fucking game. And twice, someone's gone, you see who your opposite man is? So for Great Britain, I was playing centre and I'm playing against that fucking animal.
The guy with the neck that I've not seen anything like, the neck the size of Salford.
The other time I was 16.
Yeah.
There's a guy called Danny Averton, who's just an amateur player, local round here, a good fucking player. And he goes, he was about to kick off and playing loose forward. I'm in the middle of the kickoff. And I would always try and make the first tackle. That was all the thing I wanted to
do. Okay, fair enough.
We're about to kick off. And I go, fucking smash your fucking opposite man, win the fucking game, let's go. And he goes, see who your man is? And just as he says that, there's a giant of a man. If anyone's from Rotherham, in the comments, you probably know this guy because he was an old pro who then played amateur and stuff like that. And it was him. It's called John Dudley. He's an actual giant.
Right.
He's about 6'10". He's an old bloke. He's not fast, but he's fucking enormous, Jay. And I'm 16. And just at the time that he turns round, he's got 13 on his back. Oh, for fuck's sake. And again, I threw my entire fucking ancestry into him and didn't budge him.
Mate, I love that. Baggers, can you see that comment from Remedies? Right, it's fixed there. Someone asking about the Manscaped linked. It should be working now. Finley Beecroft Phillips says, did you ever play in Leeds?
Yeah, I made my Super League Academy debut against Leeds.
Oh. There you go.
A couple of players you might have heard of, Chev Walker, JJ Buchanan, they packed me up and fucked me off and all. You might be seeing a fucking trend here. I was little.
Man, I can't say shit. I haven't played rugby in my life, so I'm not about to criticise your rugby career. At least you had one. Girth on that neck, Jesus. About a foot long and all. I love that. Very northern way of speaking. Ever play any Cumbrian team, Steve? This has become Stephen Howson's rugby career.
Told you to do bits one day. Took rugby league short.
What about London Broncos, Steve? Lol.
I never played against Broncos.
When Steve was little, podcast.
When we were mint.
Yeah, when we were mint. That's the new title, isn't it?
But well, we was also mint when I was little.
Ah, there you go then. Yeah.
Not so much in my 30s.
Stephen could have played for Scotland.
No, I actually played for Scotland. So this is a funny story.
Go on.
What time are we on?
Go on, you can wrap it up with this.
Yeah. So, while I was at college, I had a phone call.
Doing basic literacy. Nothing wrong with that.
Did A-level maths, IT, and PE.
A-levels?
I didn't finish it.
No, I didn't get any A-levels either.
So, I got a phone call from a fella that was the coach of the Great Britain team, and he goes, where was you today? And I was like, oh, my. What were the questions? And he said, we just had a trial for the England team. I was hoping to see you there. I went, oh, why? He said, because there's a home nations coming up in the next month. And I was like, oh, I didn't know. And he goes, right. He goes, well, we've got a problem here because he goes, I can't pick you for Great Britain and I wanted to pick you for Great Britain. Now, you already know that I get to play for Great Britain because I got twatted off the guy with no neck.
Yeah.
Right. So there was a loop. What's the loop, you say?
Yeah.
So he goes, well, I had you in my mind to play for Great Britain, but you weren't at the fucking trial and I can only select players that play in the home nations.
Stephen,
he goes,
Stephen.
Have you got any Scottish or Irish ancestry? And I went, oh, no.
Well, that's a lie.
Well, it's not.
Everyone's got Irish ancestry.
All right, okay, well, none that counts.
Right.
So he goes, oh, good. And I was like, I definitely said no. And he went, sound, I'll forward you some details then, just look out for the post.
All right, he's speaking in front of someone.
Yeah.
Right, I'm with you.
I didn't know that. I'm fucking 18 and play rugby. I'm thick as fuck.
Right, okay.
I'm only marginally less thick now.
Yeah, that's true.
Whereas I might have gone, oh, I know what you're doing. Right. I was like, no, I said, no, what, yeah. Where are you going? So then a fucking pack arrives for me in the post and it's like, right, go to, it was at Crewe and Allsager. Joe, MMU, you've got a fucking, what'd you call it? Campus in Crewe.
What?
Imagine going, oh, mum, I've been accepted to Manchester University. All right, what part, Crewe?
Yeah.
All right, right. 2 hours away.
Yeah.
So they go, right. Basically, I turn up.
Go on.
Basically, what happened is the Scotland team was not so good and they had space and they was like, right, well, let's get someone in.
All right.
So they got me in, played first game, played against Wales, had a fucking rate good game.
Yeah.
And I think I've got the VHS of it. If we can figure out a way of putting a VHS on.
There's
got
to be a way. There's always a way. People get VHSs onto YouTube and all.
They made me learn the fucking Flower of Scotland.
Right.
I had to sing it in front of them. That was shit.
Right.
Proper shit.
Yeah.
And then played against Wales, had a fucking right good game. Played against Ireland, had a good game. Played against England, played the worst game of my life. Not on purpose, but I knew the entire England team. So do you know when you know one player on a team and then you two have a little thing? Well, what about when you're the only player the entire opposite team knows? So they fucked me, basically. And I was also I just got fucking done, basically.
Yeah.
And I was shit.
Right.
And I was the only player.
Apart from the fact they all knew you got done and you were shit, you were doing well.
Oh, I had a bad game. Do you just go, I did not have a good game today. Yeah. I made about four tackles. It just fucking didn't go well for me. And somehow still got selected to go to the group. I was the only Scottish player.
Scottish, yeah.
To get selected.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, someone said, and forgive me, Ross, you're on United. Is it just me or have they actually not talked about centre-backs yet? I think we've covered centre-backs quite extensively on this podcast. I think anyone who's watched it all the way through will be proper enlightened about the centre-back situation at United and who's coming in the summer.
Cameron, just for anyone joining, the board aren't signing a new centre-back. Luke Shaw is our new ball-playing centre-back, so we're chatting about Steve's rugby career.
There you go, that clears all that. Someone as well, I missed it, who said they had a bet on Steve Bruce in the 1991 Cup Winners' Cup final, and Sparky robbed him of
Santa Notch quid. In the comments there.
That was it, Wayne List, thank you.
Wow. Santa Notch in the comments there has put, in quotation, Steve Howison. If you actually search that was what they had my name down as in the like the match reports for playing for Scotland.
Really?
And I'm not sure it was deliberate. I think they just fucking spelt my name wrong.
Right, okay. So,
because I tried, I was like, I wonder if there's any fucking info on this, because it's internationals. Like, it was a big thing.
What is it? Hang on a minute. What's it? Steve?
Howison. Yeah, I think it's Steve.
Didn't he used to play for
Newcastle?
Right, hang on. Steve.
I have searched this recently, so
Howison.
It is
Howison. Let's have a look. Oh, no, I've done the old.
I'm going to search Rugby League Scotland as well, just see what comes up. That might be it. Where is it? 2017. This is a long list.
Right. I'm conscious of the fact that this makes great viewing, seeing two guys sat on the phone scrolling looking for Steve Howison. So you can play this game at home if you want to have a search for Steve Howison and see if you can find him and his mates with big necks. And in the meantime, if you've not done so already, you can check out the Manscaped link that's in the description. You get a discount on that. Also, we've got the game coming up on Sunday. We're playing West Bromwich Albion. Are you here Sunday a lot?
Yep.
Soft lad. Yep. He's going to be here. Adam McCullough's going to be here. Joe Smith's going to be here. So we're going to have the pre-match show with him and Baggers. Then you're going to have the watch-along. And you're going to have all the post-match reaction as well. You've done a transfer review, haven't you?
I have.
So yep. If you want to hear about centre-backs and targets and all the shit we should have been speaking about on this podcast, it'll be in his transfer review, I'll take it. So don't panic. Send tomorrow morning there. That'll be out there, so make sure you watch that. Also, for members, the new members video with me and Baggers that's up on the channel. Anything else you've got to add? That's enough from you. That's been Stephen Howison. I've been Jay Mottet. This has been an extensive, insightful look at United's centre-back situation. Thanks for watching.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.